The future is in peril. What we need now is a shining hope. Bringing the nation back. One photo at a time. This is Aaron McGrady.
Well, hello out there. I'm glad that you could join us. I have got a fantastic show for you today. Later on, we're going to be discussing the possible Republican vice presidential nominees and who will be Mitt Romney's pick. Of course, if he gets the nomination, which it looks like he's going to. But before we get into all that, I am very excited about today's guest. Malcolm Out Loud is a national news and political commentator and host of the web TV channel MalcolmOutLoud.tv, home of his news magazine. He is a published author, speaker, and talent behind a daily radio feature, The Out Loud Minute, which can be heard nationwide on over 500 radio stations and heard by over 16 million listeners. Malcolm Out Loud, welcome to the show.
Aaron, hello, good evening, sir.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Very good for a Thursday.
Oh, yeah, well, I totally understand that. Tomorrow will be much better, Friday.
That's it, buddy.
Hey, I
we always get more excited on Fridays, don't we?
Oh, we do, especially around 5 o'clock.
That's it.
Hey, I just want to get your thoughts. You know, yesterday Rick Santorum ended his bid to become the president. But to me, it wasn't so much breaking news that he ended his bid. What fascinated me was from where he came from that he lasted so long. What do you think resonated with the voters to keep him in as long as he did?
Right. Well, that's a good question, Aaron. And, you know, I interviewed Rick Santorum just a few months ago for my show, in fact, and sat down with him. He's very personable, and he comes across very personable. You know, when Santorum started the campaign, you know, it really was about the economic issues. It really was about getting our country straight. It really was about some of the things, jobs, things that matter to Americans, real issues, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where he got sidetracked is where he started to talk about all these social issues, which you're not going to win an election on. No election is ever won on the social issues. When you start talking about, you know, and I think one of the problems is, you know, he talked about reducing the size of government and talked about keeping government out of our lives. But then on the next hand, he wanted to talk about all the social issues as well as putting on a war on the porn industry and having more regulations on porn and contraception and gay marriage and abortion.
Right.
And he had a lot to say about all these social issues. And I think that really did him in at the end of the day.
Do you think he just had trouble focusing, that he was thinking about so many things it all came out?
I think a lot of these candidates, Aaron, their handlers don't really set them straight. And it's the same thing with Romney and how he got into trouble, and Gingrich, too, for that matter. I think their handlers and their PR people do them an injustice when they don't steer them in the right direction. You know, when you're a candidate running for the highest office in the land, you're under the biggest scrutiny ever possible. And everything you say is going to be magnified, and anything you say can be taken out of context in a second, you see?
Right.
And
wow.
That's what's happened in this race, yeah.
You know, one thing that surprised me on Santorum was, you know, he came across to me, especially in the first few debates, as almost Mr. Negativity. And he got better later on, but it just surprised me, you know, that he just didn't fall off right away.
Well, you know, you bring up, but that's something I haven't heard anybody say, but I would not disagree with you. I think there was this sense about him, Aaron, that it didn't seem to me his message was very positive at the end of the day. I think it didn't obviously resonate with people enough that it was going to carry him through. So I think that was his undoing. But I think the challenge now is, and the surprise when he did resign, you remember he kept saying he was in it all the way to Tampa, right, to the convention,
right,
to the GOP
right.
convention, which they all say that, of course. But, and then, of course, he said he was absolutely waiting for his home state primary in Pennsylvania. And that was his commitment. Well, then it surprised everybody that he bailed when he did. And part and parcel, the problem is, you know, what gets me on this, you know, a lot of the media said it was his daughter Bella. But his daughter Bella has been sick before. This wasn't a new revelation with what had happened. In fact, she was already out of the hospital when he had made that announcement. What I think really was the reason, Aaron, is because he knew he was going to lose Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And he knew that there was no way he was going to be able to proceed forward with losing his home state again after he lost by 17, 18 points just a few years back, you know?
Right. Well, you know, you did interview him. So what would make him, just out of curiosity, decide to run for president knowing that when he ran for Senate, he got beat in his own state? He didn't win re-election.
He did not. No, he lost big time. You know, a lot of these people, when they get in to run for president, they really don't know. I mean, I don't think he thought his chances were really high. Let's put it this way. He was already didn't have a job. He had plenty of time on his hands. And I'm sure there's passion there initially. People want to, you know, make our country better. And I believe every one of the candidates want to do that to some degree, you know.
Right.
And I think it's a very personal decision that, you know, he makes at that time. But did he ever think he was going to win it? I don't believe he did, Aaron. I think he always knew that this was a race he could not win. But I think he tried, you know, if you try to convince enough people enough times, maybe lightning will strike and something will happen, right?
Right. Well, why is Newt still in it? It seems to me that he's just fallen off too. But he's, you know, it's like the old ball player that just, you know, just cannot give it up.
Right. That's exactly it. Yeah. Newt, again, has become very – Newt's problem is this, and I think you'll see this immediately. He really blew it after South Carolina. Coming into Florida was his decline. And the problem with this, and I guess where Romney is – you see where Romney is not getting the support of Santorum thus far, and certainly not Gingrich thus far. The other candidates can't stand him, truth be told. And it's because of the amount of negativity, and, you know, Romney's problem is he hasn't had a positive message either. Everything has been about obliterating the competition and tearing them apart. And, well, that has frustrated the other candidates, to the fullest. And I think that's where they're having a difficult time at this point, getting behind him. Now, normally in any Republican race, at this point of the race, if you're going to bow out, such as what a Santorum did, you would immediately endorse the front runner and the obvious apparent here, the nominee, which is going to be Romney.
Right.
And you see, he did not do that, did he?
No, he did not. Why no. was that? Does he...
He just, you know, it's all payback at this point. Now there is speculation, Aaron, and mark my words on this. He's going to endorse Romney, okay? And there is speculation that's going to happen next week. So I think as soon as he comes down from all this, there's probably going to be another press conference with him and Romney, and that's where the hatchet gets buried. But, of course, keep in mind, Democrats are going to go pull up all of the airplay and all of the sound bites where Romney and him were attacking each other fairly viciously. And, you know, he said a lot of things about how Romney couldn't win the race. He said a lot of things about how Romneycare was wrong and the same program as Obamacare. He said a lot of truthful things, obviously, about Romney. Right. And this is going to be hard to take that all back now at the end of the day. And I think the Democrats are going to use this very nicely against the Republican candidate, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a very difficult race for Romney. I think this particular primary season has not been kind to the Republicans, and they have done themselves in with the amount of negativity. You know, in a normal election year like this, when you have a president that is screwed up as much as a President Obama has, it's not terribly difficult to defeat somebody like this. But yet when you look at the numbers right now, he is ahead of Romney, and some of these polls have shown him 10, 12 points nationally ahead. Mm-hmm. That's and Obama's numbers are not good. I mean, nationally, overall, they haven't been good. He's not very well liked. His policies are not liked at all. I mean, very much distrust. But yet he's still in front, and he's still better than the Republican choice at this point. It's kind of hard to swallow, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Do you think Romneycare will hurt Romney, and, you know, Obamacare and Romneycare, will they just cancel each other out?
100%. No, I think it's going to be a real problem. In fact, I got to tell you right now, the Obama administration has released some commercials and videos today. This was hysterical, by the way. This is how slick Obama is, if you can believe this. It's the 6-year anniversary of Romneycare today.
Wow.
And guess what Obama did? Well, they had a happy birthday and celebrated Romney care.
Wow.
So, you know, that's pretty clever. So, you know, the Democrats are on it, and certainly President Obama is on it. And so for them to come out and throw a release out and celebrate the birthday and anniversary of Romney care, what does that tell you, my friend?
It's not good at all. Not good.
It's
at
not
all.
Good at all. And you know, in the problem with the GOP at this point, and I've said this repeatedly on radio everywhere, how is it that the GOP is going to make their poster child for the 2012 election the same man who is the architect of the individual mandate, which they deem is unconstitutional? I don't really get that. How they're going to pull that magic trick off? That's going to be a Houdini affair. Let me tell you.
You know, I think, and I really believe this, that if Obama wins a second term, then we just need to pack our bags. I mean, this country will never be the same. What's holding him back from doing whatever, you know, he feels necessary? He doesn't have to run for re-election.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with that either. And I'll tell you this, I've said this before. I think Obama would make a very fine dictator for one of these third world countries in South America or in Europe that we could put him in. He would make a very fine dictator for one of these countries who need a dictator as such. I really do. I do not think he is. I have not been impressed, and I don't think too many have been. But one thing about Obama is he's a hell of a campaigner. Mm-hmm. He's a very good campaigner. He knows how to plead to people who are hurting and those that are really have a difficult times right now. And really the people who are not interested in advancing their lives as well. Mm-hmm. And he really appears to these people in a light that makes it look positive. And it's not. So I think that's part and parcel. If you remember back in the 2008 election, you remember they got a lot of people out to vote that never voted before, Aaron.
Right.
You know? Remember they had the whole Acorn scandal. They were busting them in, for God's sakes. I think they were putting their voter cards out of construction paper as they were entering in the voter booths. I mean, this was pretty nuts.
Right.
You know, you'd like to think that's a good thing in America. But, you know, when you promise everything and you promise the sun and it's all free and we're going to go after the rich people and you create the kind of class war here that President Obama has created in this country, you really have some problems, yeah?
Right. Oh, I totally agree. Do you think that and this is what I hope, so just for the fact that Obama doesn't get reelected, do you think because he was the first black president that the novelty will have worn off and he doesn't have quite as good of a turnout?
I don't know that will play into too much in the second go around here, the election. I think that played in the first one very nicely. I think one of the reasons that a junior senator with no experience whatsoever and no executive experience and no worldly experience had any chance of getting to the White House, I think the fact that he was an African-American played a very large part in that, quite frankly. And there are those who would disagree with me. I would absolutely say they're wrong. And I know because I have spoke to African-American leaders, who even conservatives who voted for Obama because they were convinced and because he was an African-American, and they regret that every day moving forward. So I think that played a big part in 2008 as to why he got through. I think if he was white with the same position and the same program, no, I don't think he would have ever came close to the White House. So, yes, I think it played a part. Sorry.
No. Well, one last question. You know, Mitt Romney, he seems to be just lukewarm to voters. What does he need to do this election cycle to go from lukewarm to just piping hot?
Well, Alan, I think we need to get him in for a makeover, for God's sakes. I mean, need to dress him up a little bit. I don't know. You know, the problem with Romney in a nutshell, Aaron, is that he's not sincere. Again, I said from the very, very beginning, this man lacks the authenticity. And people see that about him. And the one thing you're not going to fool Americans about is when you're a phony. That's the one thing Americans will read through. You can fool them in several ways. I mean, you can get by in some areas, but the one place I think the Americans will edge onto you is if you are a phony, if you're not authentic. And the problem Mitt Romney has is he tries to be too many things to too many people. He's not legit in his own personal beliefs and standings, and I think that has really hurt him at this point. You've got to take a position in life and stick with it, and you've got to have some passion behind that, and you've got to speak from the heart and be authentic. People like that. That's how I am. I speak. You may not want the truth, then don't ask the question.
Right.
You see? And that's what I mean by getting out loud. I mean, let's all just get to the point and make it happen. That's the problem with Mitt Romney, is he's been too phony along the way, and authenticity is a big problem in this race. And that's an advantage Barack Obama is going to have, Aaron, and that's because Barack Obama knows how to be authentic. He is he knows he is who he is, and he's proud of it. He knows exactly who he is. He doesn't make any bones about it, does he?
Oh, no, not at all. You know, for our sake, I hope that Mitt Romney picks the right candidate that can just offset him. And
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
it's good to see who he picks. It's going to be, and there's a lot of juxtaposition about that, and we'll be talking about that ahead as well. That'll be one of the next things. But at this point, we still have to get him. He still has to have the 1144 delegates, and again, he still has a couple of competitors as low on the totem pole as they are, such as with Gingrich and Paul. Paul, of course, hasn't won a primary yet. Gingrich, of course, won the two states and has a delegate count. The problem with Gingrich is he got off the base. A lot of people liked Gingrich. They liked the fact he was a conservative, had a conservative message. Romney is not a conservative. He's a moderate and, in some cases, left of moderate. You understand?
Right. Right.
And that's a problem when conservatives are looking for a conservative. Certainly, the party's not terribly excited about him. Now, they're going to pretend they are excited just ahead. Mm-hmm. And prior to the convention, you're going to see a lot of people put phony smiles on. I can guarantee you that, my friend.
Right.
And nobody will say that I'm correct with what I just said, but it's a darn fact.
Well, I believe you totally. I agree with you. And, you know, we need more people like you out there that will speak the truth, tell the truth, and, you know,
The problem is they want to sugarcoat it. They want to sugarcoat it, and they want to say what they think is popular. And that's what happens in this country, and that's why we're going to hell in a handbag quick if we don't start to all get out loud and do something about it, brother.
Yeah, and everybody needs to take part in the democratic process and do research and not just judge a book by its cover.
See, that's it, Aaron, and they don't do it. We take everything by the cover, by the facade, by the media sound bites. You'll have to dig further. So, you know, and I would say to listeners out there, you know, if you have something to say, agree with me, tell them to email me at speakup@malcolmoutloud.com. And if they disagree, Aaron, they can email me at shutup@malcolmoutloud.com. They both work, and we're happy to get of us.
I'll have to remember that one. I like that.
You do. You email shutup, and you'll come right to us, man. Our production team will pick it up and say, oh, there it is. There's another one. Or speak up, which is the case. You can follow us also on Facebook and Twitter. Malcolm Out Loud is the handle. You'll catch us all over the country again every day and somewhere. And a good to be on your show for the first time.
Well, thank you. And, you know, come back anytime. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on board. And who knows, maybe you know, someday we'll disagree on something and get very lively.
It could be, buddy. We'll see. Aaron, you have a great night.
Hey, you too. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Malcolm Out Loud. As you heard him, if you agree with him, you know, you can email him. And if you disagree with him, you know, you can email him at shutup. So it was a great honor and privilege to have him on the show. A little bit later on, we will be talking about the vice presidential nominees who could be the pick who Mitt Romney may pick. And, you know, unfortunately, I believe that Mitt Romney is going to be the Republican nominee for president. It's, you know, it's unfortunate it has come to this because, you know, like we just discussed, Romneycare was the precursor to Obamacare. And as Malcolm Out Loud just said, they had a birthday party today, Obama did, for Romneycare. And that's very disturbing to me because, you know, when you go into a presidential election, and I hope the Supreme Court overturns Obamacare, but how can you run for president for the Republican Party and have Romneycare, as he's going to have, shoved in your face 100% of the time and have it, so to speak, overturned by the Supreme Court by Obamacare? Oh, if you want to call into the show, give me a call, 646-200-9231. 3400 is the number to the show. Again, that's 646-200-3400. Just in a few minutes, we will be taking a news break. But before we get into the news, I do want to talk about some of the VP contenders. Some of these you may know about, and most of these, I don't think you really will. There are some names in here that you probably have not heard of, such as the Puerto Rican governor. You know, somebody call in and let me know if you know who that is. We'll talk about him a little bit later. He could be a VP nominee. But one thing that, you know, we really need is someone that has the personality and ability that will, you know, offset Mr. Stoneface, Mr. Robot, Mitt Romney. You know, and I want Obama to lose. So, you know, it's almost shameful that I'm talking about Mitt Romney, how I'm talking about him, but I've never been a fan of his. If you've been a listener to this show, you know that. Never been a fan of Mitt Romney's. You know, back in 2008, wasn't a fan of his, and we could not get him to be a nominee in 2008. Why should we have him be a nominee now? I just don't get it. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, as they say. You keep on harping and keep on harping and keep on harping and keep on harping, and then maybe, you know, you'll get some votes your way, and just so people, you know, so you'll be shut up. I don't know, but oh gosh, Mitt Romney. You know, Newt Gingrich isn't very well liked. He made a lot of enemies when he was Speaker of the House. But, you know, he is very intelligent. He is more conservative than Mitt Romney. And then, you know, you have Rick Santorum that dropped out yesterday. He saw the writing on the wall. He was smart enough to see that. Why Newt Gingrich can't, you know, just suck up his pride and get out. You know, he wants to take it all the way to the convention. But, you know, maybe he can use this as, you know, to put out some ideas. If you didn't hear this the other day, here's just a clip on what Gingrich said this past Sunday. Take a listen to this.
From America's election headquarters.
Given the size of his organization, given the number of primaries he's won, he is far and away the most likely Republican nominee.
Newt Gingrich on Fox News Sunday, signaling that his time on the trail as a candidate may be near its end and that he's going to turn his support over to former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney.
If he does get to 1,144 delegates, I'll support him. I'll do everything I can this fall to help him defeat Obama.
Gingrich's campaign's running out of money, but maybe not out of steam just yet. He says he's seeing a great response for the upcoming primary states of Delaware and North Carolina. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News Radio.
Now, why would he hint towards that and still be in the race? You got me. You got me. I just don't get it. He, you know, I've told this story before, and, you know, I'm from Georgia, if you didn't know. Not originally from Georgia. That's just where I live, in Atlanta. And his national campaign headquarters, Newt Gingrich, his national campaign headquarters is in Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, since we have a presidential candidate's national campaign headquarters, what does Aaron decide to do? Aaron decides to go over there and see what they say Newt Gingrich is all about. And this was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, I've driven by there, and there's lights on there at 7 o'clock, you know, 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. You know, you can imagine, you know, there's different time zones in the country. You're running a national campaign. You want to be there at all hours, right? So, anyways, I go in and I march myself, and my wife was actually with me too. And we walk in there, and we go into the elevator, and his campaign headquarters is in a 3-story building, and his campaign headquarters takes up the entire third floor. The entire third floor. And it's one of those office buildings that, because you're on the entire third floor, the elevator takes you right up in the middle of all the offices. Well, we got out of the elevator, and there to the right, there's a little break room, coffee area, and there's about 3 or 4 staffers standing over there, and we walk right on out, and they just look at us and turn around and keep drinking their coffee. Now, to me, if I was running for president of the United States, or I was on a staff, to be president of the United States. Any stranger that I saw walk into that office, I would greet them and welcome them. You never know who it might be, you know, and not ignore them. I mean, my goodness, what if we were with the Romney campaign? I mean, we had free range of that office. So anyways, so we walk down the hallway, and, you know, of course, everywhere there's the Newt Gingrich pictures and paintings and all that great stuff. And so we went down, and there was all these deserted offices. I mean, they were fully furnished offices with file cabinets and desks and you know, it looked like it was, you know, something going on. Then there's this room full of phone banks that you can make phone calls and try to get out the vote and support Newt Gingrich. And so I walk into these offices trying to find somebody to help me. No one is around. They are all in that break room, that, you know, that area, all chit-chatting away, you know. My gosh, we could have had another, you know, Watergate on our hands. I mean, it would have been easy for anybody to go in there and take some of his stuff. Now, with that being said, I'm not encouraging people to go to Newt Gingrich's camping headquarters and just rummage around, although it would have been easy to do for me because they didn't pay me any attention. But guess what? Here I am on the radio talking about it, maybe embarrassing the Newt Gingrich campaign because they felt like that people didn't deserve the attention. I guess maybe if I would have had some cameras with me, they would have given me some attention to make it look all fine and dandy for, you know, for the media. But maybe Newt Gingrich, you know, I was all about Newt Gingrich too, to be honest with you, because, you know, he's from Georgia, I'm from Georgia, he's very smart, he was Speaker of the House, and I was just all about Newt Gingrich. I thought he could step into the role. I mean, for goodness sake, he was two heartbeats away from the presidency when he was Speaker of the House and Clinton was president. You know, so I thought he could step into the role. But the biggest turnoff to me is, you know, how you are behind the scenes. And although I did not see him at his headquarters, his campaign staffers were just a bunch of stuck-up snobs, much rather drink coffee than say hello to people that want to maybe come support you. The number is 646-200-3400. Again, that's 646-200-3400. Today we're going to be talking about, here in just a little bit, the vice presidential contenders. We'll be talking about that after the news. And if you missed the first half of the show, you missed a great, great guest, Malcolm Out Loud. He's a news and political commentator. He says it exactly how it is. He doesn't bow down to anyone. He, you know, out loud. That's exactly what it's like. We need a lot more of those people. Like Malcolm Out Loud. We need people that will say it how it is. Doesn't matter whose feathers you ruffle, because that's what makes America so great. You know, people that have disagreements, people that can debate, that's not all about the numbers, not all about the polls, that really say what's on your mind. I mean, goodness gracious, back when we first founded the country, and I said this before, Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey as the national bird. Thank goodness we ended up with the bald eagle, but there was a huge debate over that. You know, nowadays, if Ben Franklin would have wanted the turkey, they would have taken a poll for this, a poll for that, and what color turkey, and is it the type of turkey that you'll eat on Thanksgiving, and should it be a butterball, or, you know, it's just crazy. We need more people that will speak their minds and don't care whose feathers they ruffle, who they upset. That's what makes America great. We have freedom of speech. We can speak our mind. We need more people like Malcolm Out Loud, like Aaron McCready. I mean, my goodness, listen to Chris Christie up there in New Jersey. He's kind of the same way, but he's still a politician. He still has to do the hush-hush type thing sometimes. But we are getting ready to go to news. Again, if you missed the first half of the show, you need to go back to the archives and listen to it. It was just a great, great guest, and I hope to have him on sometime soon again. But in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the VP contenders. Have you ever heard of Tennessee Representative Marsha Blackburn? Of course, you heard of Governor Jeb Bush, Eric Cantor, Chris Christie, Mitch Daniels. How about Luis Fortuno? Fortuno. He's a Puerto Rican governor. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, all those are in the VP shortlist that maybe Romney will pick. We're going to go over all those in detail right after this news break.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. George Zimmerman, the center of attention at a four-minute hearing in a Sanford, Florida jailhouse courtroom, kicking off what could be a lengthy legal process. He's now charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of the unarmed Trayvon Martin. His attorney, Mark O'Mara, spoke afterwards.
He's glad the process is in place. He really does hope, as the prosecutor said, that we're given the opportunity by the media, by the community, to handle this case the way it's supposed to be handled. Full discovery, conversations, negotiations, trial if need be, motions if they're appropriate, and let the system work.
Prosecutors outlined their case today in court papers that say Zimmerman followed and confronted the black teenager after police dispatchers told the Neighborhood Watch volunteer to back off. Zimmerman not entering a plea today. That'll happen at his arraignment, which is now set for May 29th. Authorities have locked down an airbase on Kodiak Island off the Alaskan coast and some nearby schools as well after two U.S. Coast Guard members were shot dead. The circumstances unclear. Authorities saying they're looking for a potential suspect who might be at large. A string of defense motions rejected in the run-up to Jerry Sandusky's sex abuse trial.
A judge on the Penn State sex abuse case is refusing to toss out the charges against Jerry Sandusky, rejecting defense arguments that the statute of limitations may have run out for eight of Sandusky's 10 accusers. Attorneys for the former assistant football coach also argued that some charges weren't specific enough and others lack evidence. The judge also rejecting those motions, but the defense will be allowed to repeat those arguments before the scheduled June trial. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
President Obama denouncing comments by Democratic campaign consultant Hillary Rosen, who said Mitt Romney's wife Ann, quote, hasn't worked a day in her life. The president saying there's no tougher job than raising children, citing his wife and mother as examples. He called Rosen's remark ill-advised, and Rosen has since apologized. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Fox News Talk presents the Fox Tech Take with Clayton Morris.
Microsoft and Nokia are all in on the latest Windows phone, the Nokia Lumia 900, and I've been testing it for about a week now, and I am disappointed. This is the phone that Nokia and Microsoft had hoped would bring them iPhone-level recognition. Sadly, that's not the case. Let's start with the good stuff. The hardware is lovely, and I'd go so far as to say it's one of the most beautifully designed phones I've ever held. The software is also quite great. Windows Mobile has come a long way, and it's a pleasure to use, but there are still too few quality apps that run on the platform. Now, more of the bad. My first reaction was that the screen looks oversaturated, the colors are bright, and not in a pleasant Easter egg kind of way. The Internet Explorer is not great either. It doesn't look good, and it doesn't work well. All in all, if they really want to compete with the big boys, they need to do bigger than this phone. For more information, you can always find me on Twitter at Clayton Morris, or catch me on Fox and Friends every weekend.
It's the Fox Tech Take on Fox News Talk.
There's late word that South Korean television is reporting that North Korea has now launched that ballistic missile with a satellite meant to be put into orbit. Now the Connecticut State House of Representatives has passed it. Governor Dan Malloy is poised to sign it and make Connecticut the 17th U.S. state to ban capital punishment.
For two decades, lawmakers in Connecticut have been debating abolishing the death penalty. The last governor vetoed a similar bill, but this governor, Dan Malloy, vows to sign it. When that happens, the top punishment will be life without parole. Those inmates will be incarcerated separately from others and be limited to just 2 hours a day outside their cells. Governor Malloy said this, quote, "Going forward, we will have a system that allows us to put these people away for life in living conditions that none of us would want to experience. Let's throw away the key and have them spend the rest of their natural lives in jail."
Fox's Greg Jarrett. The state of Florida has just executed convicted killer David Allen Gore for the 1983 murder of a 17-year-old girl. He got a lethal injection at Florida State Prison. As we said, South Korean media now reporting that North Korea has launched that ballistic missile. It's been a source of concern. The North's been saying it's solely to put a satellite into orbit, while other countries, including the U.S., are worried it's a test of a missile that could ultimately carry a nuclear warhead.
The White House has already said one casualty of a launch would be the food aid that the U.S. is ready to sign off on as nuclear talks resumed.
It makes it virtually impossible for us to go ahead with that program of assistance.
White House Press Secretary Jay Carney Christopher Hill, former ambassador to South Korea, says it's odd the regime would risk the food aid with this launch, given that its patron, China, helped arrange it.
Suddenly to announce that they're going to go ahead with a test, I think suggests that they have some internal problems, and frankly, they don't have their act together.
Hill says the situation requires more diplomacy, including some pressure on the Chinese.
Fox's Mike Makowicz. And I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
A colorless landscape. The future is in peril. What we need now is a shining hope. Bringing the nation back. One photo at a time. This is Aaron McCready.
Well, welcome back to the show. As you just heard in that news break, oh, the Koreans, they're up to it again, aren't they? Firing off those missiles. Sending one to launch a satellite into space, and the United States, we're a little concerned, because what's to say that they won't fire something at us that contains a nuclear weapon? Welcome back to the broadcast. You're in the second half of AM in the PM with yours truly, Aaron McCready. And if you're just tuning in, you've missed a great guest the first half of the show, Malcolm Out Loud, news and political commentator. You can go to malcolmoutloud.tv, and that's his website. He has a weekly news magazine, and then he also has the Out Loud Minute that is on 500 radio stations nationwide and heard by over 16 million listeners. We are going to now talk about some of the VP contenders. Who will Mitt Romney pick as his running mate? And yes, I hate to say it, it does look like it is going to be Mitt Romney. Well, the first one that I have on my list here is Tennessee Representative Marsha Blackburn. And I know that she's not an obvious choice, but she is someone that is very involved in the Tea Party. And she was one of the leading opponents of Obamacare. And she described it as a government-run, government-insured, government-financed, government-delivered healthcare system. And she's been described by a lot of people as having some of the characteristics of Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann, but without any of their negative baggage. And she is also, like, again, part of the Tea Party movement. And I think she'd be a perfect running mate for Mitt Romney. You know, she's from Tennessee. Mitt Romney's from, I'm going to try to say this, Massachusetts. And, you know, he's a northerner, she's a southerner. That could help shore up the Tea Party support, the Southern support, and the women voters as well. And, you know, she's not very well known, so I think that could help her as well. You know, the freshness would give her the perfect opportunity to make a positive impression on others. But you know what? She does have a lot of clout. When she was in Congress, and of course she's still in Congress, but she held several leadership positions, and that's including that of Deputy Whip. So she is a very powerful lady. Not a lot of people know Marsha Blackburn, but in my opinion, she is going to be on the short list for Mitt Romney. And, you know, who anticipated the selection of Sarah Palin? No one thought that Sarah Palin would ever be a VP nominee. You know, former governor of Alaska. So, you know, who knows? Representative Blackburn might be the VP. Also, you got former governor Jeb Bush. Now, there's some issues with Jeb Bush, mainly being a Bush. And I just do not think that America is ready for another Bush. Now, while he may do a fantastic job and he has a lot of great credentials, you know, in politics, perception is reality. And with Governor Bush, I think it's just too soon for him. You know, he did a lot in education in Florida, and I don't think that he even would accept the vice presidential nomination. I think he would be better suited as Secretary of Education. But that's just my opinion. you know, if you think differently, call into the show at 646-200-3400. All right, now, our next on the list of possible VP is Virginian Majority Leader Eric Cantor in Congress. He's from Virginia's 7th Congressional District, and he is the number two man in Congress. Yep, he's right behind John Boehner, but there's word that secretly Eric Cantor wants to oust John Boehner as Speaker of the House. Eric Cantor wants to become Speaker, from what I am hearing. And you know what? That might be enough if John Boehner is, you know, well connected in the Republican Party to get Eric Cantor to become VP. Why? Because what is a politician's number one job? And it's to get reelected. And John Boehner, if he was ousted as Speaker of the House, do you think he could go back to Ohio and win election? He couldn't even keep the speakership. So that would get Eric Cantor out of the way, and John Boehner would be safe. Also, one thing, Eric Cantor, he is Jewish. That would get the Jewish vote. But then you got to look on the flip side of things. You got Mitt Romney, a Mormon, and then you have Eric Cantor, Jewish. The conservative Christian base might not like that too well, having a Mormon and someone that's Jewish on the same ticket. That would be a really tough pill to swallow for some people. So I think that Eric Cantor would be a great choice for VP, but not with Romney. If it was someone else, like a Gingrich or a Santorum, oh, sure, but you know, not with Mitt Romney. Not, you know, unfortunately, religion plays a big part in people's perception, and I think that would be a tough pill to swallow. Then we got New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. He's already said before that, you know, when they wanted him to run for president, he decided he didn't want to run because he felt like he wasn't ready. Well, if you're not ready to become president, Chris Christie, why are you going to be ready to become vice president? I mean, God forbid, what if Mitt Romney took the oath of office, the next day he, God forbid, died of a heart attack? Or had a stroke. Now you're president. Now we have somebody that says he wasn't ready to be president as president. Sounds like Obama, but Obama thought he was ready. We all know that Obama wasn't ready to be president. Look at his record. Then we got Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels. Now, he's done some impressive things in Indiana. And he came into office with an $800 million deficit. And then, you know, he was running for re-election in 2008, but then that deficit was turned into a $1.3 billion with a B, surplus. And, you know, that's one reason that in 2008 he won re-election by an 18% margin. You know, one thing, Mitch Daniels received more than 20% of the black vote for governor. And I say black vote, I don't say African-American vote. How can you be an African, and how can you be an American? How can you be an Irish-American? How, you know, you just can't. I don't understand why we call it African-American. Unless you hold dual citizenship, you're not an African-American. I'm a white American. African-Americans, quote-unquote, are black Americans. If you disagree with me, 646-200-3400. I'd love for you to disagree with me. But also, he had, when he won re-election, Mitch Daniels, again, in Indiana, the governor, he got 51% of the youth vote, 67% of the senior citizen vote, and 57% of the independent voters, and even 24% of the Democrats in the state voted for him. So, you know, he definitely can go, you know, attract the Republican voters and the Democratic voters also. And while he does all that, he also rides a Harley up and down the road. So, you know, that he's one person to consider too. Then we got Oklahoma Governor Mary Phelan. If you know her last name, please let me know. But anyhow, she was elected governor in 2010. And she also sought out to make up a $400 million budget deficit. And she had a combination of a 5% across-the-board agency budget cuts and increased tax enforcement. So she got her revenues up in that state. However, she does have some baggage. She reminds me a lot like Newt Gingrich, the governor of Oklahoma, because, you know, back in December of 1998, an Oklahoma Highway Patrol bodyguard, she was then lieutenant governor, but a bodyguard for her, resigned after admitting to unprofessional conduct. She also filed for divorce from her husband, and her husband said that she had an affair with a bodyguard. But the trooper said that unprofessional conduct, he just had unprofessional conduct, but it was never specifically said that he was having an affair with Lieutenant Governor. But, hey, you know, if that doesn't matter to people, personal lives are personal lives, then maybe she might be a good one. You got Puerto Rico Governor Luis Fortuno. And I apologize if I got his name wrong. But you know what? He might be a good one. He could get the Hispanic vote. Definitely. And, you know, I know what you're going to say. Oh, he's from Puerto Rico. He's not a natural-born citizen, right? Is that what you're going to say? But all persons born in Puerto Rico between April 11, 1899 and January 12, 1941 are automatically conferred citizenship. It was assigned by the president on June 27, 1952. And then also, if you're born in Puerto Rico on or after January 13, 1941, you're considered a natural born citizen of the United States. However, you know, Puerto Rico is a territory. So he might be a good one. We got South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. She is a her parents are from India. And she is also a darling of the Tea Party movement. And she is known for fiscal conservatism. But, you know, she is in a state that has 10% unemployment. And, you know, she's had some problems, too. When she was running for governor, there were issues about her having an affair. She denied those. None of those really came out. But, you know, that was brought up. So, you know, she may be a good one. We've got Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. We'll come back and talk about some of these here in a minute. But we got Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. Here's the one that you may not know. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez. Have you guys ever heard of her? She is very outspoken. She is like a better-looking, slimmed-down version, a skinny version of Chris Christie. And they have a lot of the same fiscal views. But so she may be one. We'll keep on going. There's a few here. Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. I'm originally from Virginia. I kind of like him. And it was funny because during a February 21st interview, the question was, what if the party's nominee came to you and said for the betterment of the party in your country, he or she needs you to serve as their running mate? Wouldn't that be a difficult thing for him to turn down? And you know what he said? He said probably. So if he was asked, he would definitely take VP. Then we have Kentucky Senator Ron Paul. Now, he's in the Tea Party, but what they're hoping that if he became VP, that if it came close between Obama and Senator Rand Paul, that he could take some of his dad, Ron Paul, the one that's still running for president, needs to drop out, could take some of his supporters or all of his supporters, and that would be enough to put him into the presidency if the vote was close. That's the mindset on that one. But you know what? He sticks to his beliefs. He really does stick to his beliefs. He's very principled, and he's a very good conservative. Then we have Ohio Senator Rob Portman. I know you don't know him. He was cabinet level director, I believe, on the Office of Management and Budget. You know, some of these people, you know, a lot of times the VP, you don't even know. You never heard of them before. Then you got Condoleezza Rice, and right now Marco Rubio's the one that's getting all the spotlight. He does want to become president. He can become president if he plays his cards right. Marco Rubio, Florida senator. We got Representative Paul Ryan from Wisconsin. We have Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval. Now, he's an interesting character. He was a former state assemblyman, federal judge, state attorney general, and he was chairman of the State Gaming Commission in Nevada. And then back in the homeland, Virginia and Tennessee, we got, yes, he's on the list, former Tennessee Senator Fred Thompson. Now, there's a rumor that he ran for president just so he could split the vote between Mike Huckabee and Mitt Romney, and so it could force John McCain to become president. Well, at least go for the nominee, because he did join it late, and he kind of flopped. Everybody thought he would be the new Reagan, but he flopped. But anyhow, because a lot of people love him, and he is from the South, he could pull that South, you know, Southern vote. Maybe the former Senator Fred Thompson might be the one. We got South Dakota Senator John Thune. And we got Florida Congressman Alan West. So, you know, there's a few people from Florida, a few people from Virginia, a couple people from Tennessee, and then round and about. 646-200-3400 if you want to join in on the show. We got just a few minutes left, or you're always welcome to join us in our live chat room on blogtalkradio.com/ Aaron McCready. That's AaronMcCrery. A-D-Y. And I'm going to go over to Adam. He's our call screener today. Hey, Adam.
Hello.
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 Hello. What do you think of some of those VP candidates or potentials? Have you heard of Marsha Blackburn before?
No, sir.
Yeah, neither has anybody else. Jeb Bush? You've heard Jeb Bush.
Well, of course.
Yeah, Eric Cantor, you're from Virginia. I'm in Georgia. You're in Virginia. You've heard of Eric Cantor, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
7th Congressional District. What about Chris Christie?
I've heard of him. I'm not familiar with him. I've heard the
name. You're not familiar with Chris Christie? Oh, you need to know about him. Mitch Daniels. We've got Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon. We'll have to look into that one.
Well, I would just hope she doesn't live up to her name if it's
Fallon. Fallen. Well, you know, she if it is Fallen, you know, she fell for a highway patrol bodyguard. We got the Puerto Rico governor. We've got, how about Nikki Haley? You know Nikki Haley? She just became governor of South Carolina. You know Bobby Jindal? Heard of Bobby Jindal, Louisiana governor?
Nope.
Well, you can lie to me here. Good grief. We got to get you caught up. Well, all right. Who's Bob McDonald?
That's the Virginia governor.
Well, I'm glad you got one. Yeah, he's in the running. That's pretty exciting, I think. All right. He's what?
Go on.
No, you were going to say he's a Republican, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, of course he's a Republican.
Of course
he's talking about the Republican nominee. Good grief.
That's why I stopped myself.
My goodness, Adam. All right. Ron Paul.
Right, that's Ron Paul.
Rand Paul.
What about Santorum?
He's a little freaky looking. Don't you think Rand Paul's a little freaky looking? He needs something with his hair. He has the curly Q hairstyles. Jerry Curl. Looks like he has Jerry Curls in his hair. What were you saying?
I was just saying he's Ron Paul's son, of course.
Oh, of course. And that's why they're hoping that he'll take someone with that vote away. All right, Condoleezza Rice, you know her.
Yeah, she'd be a good. What do you think on her?
You think she'd be a good one? Why do you think she'd be a good one?
I don't know. She just seems like she maybe someone that could stand up against Obama. I don't know. What are your thoughts on her?
Yours, do you think that because they're both black?
Well, she had she was the Secretary of State.
What?
I was just saying where she had been Secretary of State in the past.
Well, she was. You know what her? You know what her lifelong dream is, though. To be commissioner of the NFL. That's no joke. She's always wanted to be commissioner of the NFL. She loves football. And she said that in a lot of interviews. All right, what about Marco Rubio? You heard of him?
Nope.
Oh, come on. You haven't heard of Marco Rubio? He's all the talk right now. You got to listen to gosh, we got to get you up to speed or something. Man, alive. Then we got Wisconsin Representative Paul Ryan. Now, Paul Ryan, Adam, he had a 2011 Republican budget proposal called A Path to Prosperity, and this is the one that the Ryan budget that the Democrats just totally, totally hate. He's very smart, gosh, the Democrats would just love to go after him. I don't know. It would be tough. Brian Sandoval, I've never even heard of him. Have you?
Nope.
Nevada governor. All right, what about Fred Thompson?
That's the actor on Law and Order.
Well, that's him. Actor on Law and Order. He's on the VP list. But anyways, yeah, there's a lot of people out there. I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it's not going to be any of those people.
But then again, you're saying how I'd never heard of these people. How many people, like you were saying, I'd even heard of Sarah Palin before?
That's right. Now everybody knows of her. And she said
right.
on the TV and making a name for herself. And people want her to run for president this time. You know who I think would be a good VP?
Who's that?
For Mitt Romney.
Who's that?
Oh, just take a wild guess. You talked to him earlier. I talked to him earlier.
Mr. Malcolm Out Loud?
I think he'd be great. I mean, he would really be the opposite of Mitt Romney, Mr. Robot. You know what I think we should do for the next show?
What's that?
Every time we talk about Mitt Romney, we should start playing. Every time we mention the name Mitt Romney, we should play Mr. Roboto, that old song. We should start playing it in the background, Mr. Roboto.
Okay.
Have you heard that song?
Nope.
Yeah, I will. Well, you haven't heard much of anything, have you? We need to get you out more. Man. But anyways, we'll get that song on here. Next time we'll play Mr. Roboto.
That could be your intro song.
Well, I think it's time we need to wrap it up. What do you think, Adam? We only have a few seconds left, right?
That's right. It was a good top half of the show.
It was.
I'm not sure. He added a whole lot. I don't think I did.
Oh, you added a lot. It was a great bottom half, too. Well, I'm going to wrap this up. For our listeners out there, they're probably tired of hearing me yap. But you know what, everybody, it's been great to be with you today. And always say this, and you know, it's really important that you go to the polls. But don't go to the polls just to go to the polls and cast a vote. You really need to go do your research on all these candidates. These people I mentioned, I went through some of them, but don't take my word for it. Go out there and do the research. You can't judge a book by its cover. Don't be just part of the minions and just go out there and vote because it's a political party. Don't vote because Barack Obama is a Democrat. Don't vote for Mitt Romney because he's Republican. Vote because you know what they stand for and you want to do what's right. We do have a show scheduled for tomorrow. That show may or may not be canceled or postponed to next week. So you just need to call. But it's been a great privilege and pleasure. Listen to the first half of this show on blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready. Have a great night.